Good evening, everyone. Here's Angie Stewart from Miami Inner Light. Again, here, Kardec Radio. It's a blessing to be here. We are here bi-weekly. I'm sorry, bi-weekly, yes. Twice a month at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. So we are happy to be here again. And if you are new to the study, if you haven't been here before, we study for 1 hour, two beautiful books. This is the first book, The Thought and Life by the Spirit of Emmanuel. And our next book is The Gospel According to Spiritism. And talking about this book, The Gospel According to Spiritism, we would like to make an invitation to all of you who live here in the Miami area. We are starting a very small group to study the gospel according to Spiritism once a month on a Sunday with a picnic in a park. So our first picnic and the gospel will be on April 22nd at 2 p.m. in this beautiful park right by the water called Alice Wainwright. It's on Brickell Avenue, almost in the corner of the bridge that goes to Key Biscayne. So if you are in the area, please join us. You can go to our Facebook page, Miami Inner Light, and all the information will be there. And now to start our studies, as we always do, I would like to invite you to have some water, because in Spiritism we believe the enlightened spirits can energize it. They can bless it. And our water will be our medication. Will be our medication for the week. And before the water finishes, if there is a little bit of water, you can replace it. You can do a prayer and you will have more blessed water until we come back to our studies. And as we always do, I would like to invite you right now just to relax a little bit, close your eyes, and we will do our initial prayer. Almighty God, dear brother Jesus, all the enlightened spirits who are with us at this moment, thank you so much. Thank you so much for helping us to be able to choose to be here, to enlighten ourselves. We could be doing so many other things. We could be watching a movie or anything else. But we chose to be here to learn how to be a better person, how to improve ourselves in this incarnation. And please connect us with the studies of tonight and help us to understand it and most of all, to put it in practice. Thank you so much. So be it. Very good. Very good. So the lesson of tonight is 15, chapter 15, Health. If you do not have this book, please go to the link in the study right there and you can access the page of the book. Today will be page 61. So you can read it with us. It's Miami Inner Light and you can see the pages there. So I will read and then I will make comments. If you would like to ask anything or make comments also, wonderful. I'll be happy and excited about it. So let's go. Health. Physical health can be compared to a house and its tenant, or to the owner of a vehicle. The tenant's care or neglect reflects upon the house. Likewise, a vehicle reveals the care or neglect of the character of its owner. When we commit an injustice, our mind enters into a state of conflict, our conscience. So our conscience enters in a state of conflict. We endure not only the censure of repentance, but also the vibrations of sorrow and accusation, both from our victim and those who sympathize with him. So this is interesting. The vibrations of sorrow and accusation, both from our victim or those who sympathize with him. So it's not just the person who we committed some kind of error, but also with their friends. Interesting. This initiates an intense disruption with the soul, which in turn is reflected onto the physical body. So that's why we say we are what we think. So we think and it will reflect in our bodies. And the energy that's transmitted to us also can reflect in our bodies. A disruption of this nature can result in maladies of various degrees and types. Feeling of anger, despair, cruelty, and intemperance create morbid zones in one's organic structure. Wow. So, feelings of anger, despair, cruelty, and intemperance. So intemperance is like imbalance. We are happy, we are sad, we are... So our feelings changed super quickly. So create morbid zones in one's organic structure. They cause a state of dissonance in the cells, which neutralizes nearly all their defense mechanism and renders the weaker organs a fertile ground for pathological germs. Wow, that's tough. That's tough. This would be really good if more doctors and nurses could start reading this book, because they would be in disbelief. So let's continue and then we comment. That is why tuberculosis, cancer, leprosy, and ulcers are many times secondary phenomena caused by the influence of mental reflexes of one's thoughts. Wow. So again, our thoughts, our body. Amazing. All states of mental depression affect the cells during mitosis and introduce disrupting elements. On the other hand, neglect of proper nutrition can also lead the body into conditions of great suffering. So this is amazing. So not just our mental reflexes, they can damage our physical body, our physical cells, but also what we already know, what science proves. If you have a bad nutrition, it reflects in your body. It brings to many, many diseases, including obesity. So this is very important. While in the flesh, our cells will naturally reflect the substances we ingest. And in this process of continuous exchange, we also ingest countless disease-producing bacteria, which comfortably lodged in our cells, and which may produce a wide variety of infectious diseases. But the pathological process does not always originate from such visible causes. Our unhealthy emotions, when deeply seated, can also create disease. After negative feelings are converted to mental vibrations, they turn against us to disturb the complex function of the nervous cells in the skin, the digestive organs, and the medulla, and the brain. These cells perform highly advanced technical functions. The reflexes of such lower feelings, when powered up on the encephalic cortex, can produce delusions that may range from a hidden phobia to an outright insanity. Wow. This condition is reinforced by companions who are in or out of the flesh, or they can be in, they can be incarnated, or out of the flesh, mean discarnated spirits. who have an affinity with us both in their outer behavior and inner qualities. They affect us directly or indirectly with negative suggestions, thereby leading us into deplorable symptoms of mental alienation and obsession. Even when we may appear to be spiritually healthy individuals. Let us not forget, then, that only good sentiments produce good thoughts. Otherwise, the soul becomes ill from the lack of inner harmony and imparts on the body imbalances and disturbances of the flesh. Wow. Wow, this is a lot of information. Health, very, very, very important. So we should deeply pay attention on chapter 15, health. Even after the study is finished, please read again, little by little, to digest the important teachings that Emmanuel brought to us here. So let's see who is here. Maria Aparecida Antunes, oh my God, very good. Welcome, welcome, my dear friend Carla. Daniela, long time I haven't seen you, Dani. River, welcome, River. Okay, guys, so let's go. What have you? Please make comments if you want, ask questions, and we can answer together and we can understand. But let's go. So the first paragraph talks about the physical health being like a house and its tenant. So it's a comparison. And it also explained that the tenant's care or neglect reflects upon the house. So the house is our physical body. The tenant, us, our spirit, who is right now incarnated in this body. So we need to take care of our spiritual mental reflexes, so we can, in order to do that, we can also transmit these good thoughts, vibrations to our physical body. This is very, very important. The second paragraph, he talks about when we commit an injustice, our mind enters into a state of conflict. And this is true. Even if you don't think you committed an injustice. Look, I was right. I did that because that person deserved, because that person did this, this, and this. Deep inside of you, in your conscience, you will be thinking, was I right? Should I really have done that? Maybe if I had done a little bit different, maybe if I had calmed down, maybe if I had done like a in the book Nosso Lar, when the spirit of André Luiz is talking without stopping, and the spiritual mentor tell him to put some water in his mouth because that was his medication. You know, if I had done that, if I had controlled my mouth, I wouldn't have said the exactly same thing. My reaction would be different. So this is what we like to say is food for thought. Because even when we think we were right, deep inside of us, we reflect if we could have done it a little bit different. And then he continues saying that we endure not only the censure of and repentance, but also the vibrations of sorrow and accusation from both, from our victim and those who sympathize with him. So let's suppose I did something against person B, and person B is really angry, and person B has many friends, C, D, F, G, and person B tells C, D, F, G, you are not going to believe Angie did this, this, and this against me. I'm shocked. So person C, D, F, G, they might know me or they might not know me, but they are all going to be thinking, wow. She's nasty. How could she do this to you? This is terrible. So it doesn't matter if what happened is true or not, but what a person said to the friends now is circulating. This energy, this negative energy, this energy of anger, suspicion is around, and this energy will start surrounding me. So I can be affected by this negative energy. So this is like very dangerous. We have also to learn how to protect ourselves. That's why we always say, watch and pray. You know, people like to pray when they need something, when they are desperate for something. And we forget that prayer should be our daily bread. We should wake up and pray, thank you, God, I'm alive. And I woke up so I can work today, I can produce, I can be better. And also when we are going to sleep, God, thank you for another beautiful day. Please help me to overcome my problems and help me to go to sleep, to be able to visit beautiful areas, to be able to continue studying, to progress. I even have a friend that prays to learn languages. And she said that she was brought to an area that taught her the language. And when she returned to to wake up state, she was able to learn it much faster. So I'm like, wow, I'm going to do this type of prayer too. I would like to learn another language. So this is something for us to think about. When we disrupt somebody, the friends of that person, they can also start vibrating against us. And then he continues. A disruption of this nature can result in maladies of various degrees and types, feelings of anger, despair, cruelty, and intemperance. So you must be thinking, wow, these are very tough feelings, you know, to this to happen is really, really difficult. Like, I don't get ever in the state of anger. I never get desperate. I never have cruelty feelings. Or intemperance. Intemperance, that's what I said, imbalance. When you're happy and you're crying. But if you think about these feelings in not the super top level, when you can also get angry with little things, you know, you see some kind of thing on TV and you get this revolt and you want this to happen. So you can have, you can develop these feelings even when you don't think. So that's why we have to know ourselves. We keep saying, oh, look at the others, think about the others. But the first one you have to think of is about yourself. You have to know yourself. When you realize you are connecting with negative energies, negative ideas, turn off. No. I don't wanna connect with this. Let me watch a video of a little doggy or a little cat or something cute, because you disconnect and you come back to your normal state. And you know, despair, sometimes we get desperate. We get really desperate for silly things. Silly things. They are not that important. Like, for example, it used to happen a lot to me when I was in New York. I was going to the subway station, and when I looked down the stairs, I saw the subway there, and I got desperate. And I started going down, like running over the people to get into the subway. Why? My God, another subway was coming like few minutes after that one. You don't need to do that. You could have an accident. We get into these feelings, and sometimes we don't even realize it. So we have to know ourselves and whoa, control yourself. You don't need to do that. In 3 minutes, another one will be there. And then he continues, they cause a state of a dissonance in the cells, which neutralizes nearly all their defense mechanisms and renders the weaker organs a fertile ground for pathological germs. This is very, very interesting. This about the dissonance of the cells, I remember many years ago, Divaldo Franco was in New York and he gave a lecture talking about a period of his life where he had a prostate cancer. He went to the doctor, and it was in a kind of advanced state. So his cancer was already like becoming dangerous. And of course, he had to do all kinds of procedures and tests, and he had to go back. And then Joana de Angelis instructed him to talk to his cells. Talk to yourselves, understand yourselves. And this lecture is very funny because he starts talking to the cell. He starts saying, "Oh, my cells, I love you. What's going on? Why are you so rebellious? Why are you so stressed that you are creating this disease inside of me? Don't do that. I love you. We have to work together. I'm sorry if I have been nervous. I'm sorry for whatever I have done. Please help me. Let's work together. It has to be a good partnership that you're doing here." So, you know, Divaldo, he is very funny. And this lecture, he talks about the cells. And then he talks that he returned a few time later to do the exams again. And the doctor could not believe. He could not believe how drastically the sick cells had reduced themselves. And Divaldo said, "Yeah, don't worry. I'm not going to even do the treatment because I will be able to get cured. I'm not telling you if you have cancer or if you have any other disease to not do your treatment. It's not what I'm saying. We have also to understand that Divaldo Franco is one being and we are a different being. We all have our path to go through, and it's very different. So if you are sick, if you have a disease, please do whatever your doctor is telling you to do. But also do this. Also do this. Love yourselves. Talk to your body. Pray. Do everything possible to cure. We don't know what is in our path. We don't know if we can be cured. But we can help this to happen. So it's very important that we help this to happen." So Emmanuel continued talking about the diseases that can be created within us. Tuberculosis, cancer, leprosy, ulcers. And these diseases are also explained by the doctor that lives in Connecticut. Now I'm not going to remember his name. I actually posted some of his videos in our page in Miami Inner Light. He is a blessing. He's an oncologist, and he treats lots of terminal patients, and he treats lots of kids. And he introduced to the kids a loving way to help them to express their feelings. So he talks about telling the kids to draw whatever they want. And within the years, he was able to develop a system that he could understand the feelings of the kid and the type of cancer he had. So this was really like, wow, this is really amazing. He was able to understand it. And through the drawings, when the drawing was like very drastic, like red, black, very dark, that kid was suffering. And he went to investigate the kid's family, the kid's life. And many times he understood there was a lot of problems going on there. So he was able to talk to the kid, to talk to the family of the kid, to try to change it, to try to change it. And he was able to bring a lot of cure to many of his patients, or at least much more peace to these children. So as soon as I remember the name of the doctor, I will post it here. I have a bad memory for names. So all states of mental depression affect the cells during mitosis and introduce disruption elements. So he also mentions about the neglect of proper nutrition. We all know mental depression is terrible. And, you know, I'm not talking about depression per se, the deep disease who many, many times need medication to be able to have a boost of energy. But, you know, I'm talking about also the depression state that sometimes we go into. We start feeling that we are a little bit different. We start feeling that we have like this sadness within us. And you know, if we don't realize it, it can go much worse. It can become much worse. And then we might need even medication. So this mental depression, we really need to disconnect. We really need to do something to change. Many, many years ago, the first year that I moved to United States, I got depressed. I had a very good job in a law firm, and the law firm closed. I lost the job, and then I couldn't get another job of the same type. I remember I was overqualified to be a secretary, and I was underqualified to be an attorney or to be a legal assistant because I didn't have a forum experience. So this was a time very difficult for me. And I start like getting depressed. And nowadays I laugh a lot about it because it's almost impossible to think of me, because I'm always hyper and bubbly, to think of me depressed. But it's possible to anyone to be depressed. And it's very dangerous because people around you, they don't even know how to help you. Oh, Carla, thank you so much. Yes, Dr. Bernie Siegel, thank you. He is wonderful, and Divaldo Franco adores him. And I was able to be in Connecticut in a lecture they both gave together, Bernie Siegel and Divaldo Franco. Anyway, so I was going down so quickly that there was nothing to make me happy. I remember my husband desperate trying to help me. He even bought a ticket to Brazil when tickets were like in paper. They were not electronic, and I picked up the paper and I cut the paper. I don't want to go to Brazil. I remember putting samba music that I absolutely loves and crying because my mind started thinking everybody hates samba, your neighbors hate samba, everybody hates samba. And then I start crying. And I remember even doing brigadeiro, this Brazilian delicious chocolate, to bring to my family. And because they are all Americans, they are not used to super sweet things. They didn't like it. They kind of like, okay. And I my mind started thinking, oh my God, if I was in Brazil, it would be so wonderful. Everybody would love brigadeiros. Anyway, long story short, I was so bad that my husband took me. And this day he told me, tomorrow you are going to go with me to that place that you guys do prayers. You know, I had been one time in the Spiritist Center in Queens, New York, and I haven't returned there. And that's what my husband said. And I remember, no, I don't want to go there. But thank God his guardian angel was very inspired and said, I don't care, I'm taking you there. And that's what he did. So the next morning he woke me up, go, get dressed. He brought me to the Spiritist Center. I was so bad that I went in, and in my mind, I was like, as soon as I open the door, I will look and I will get out. And things always happen the way it's supposed to happen. He found a parking spot by the door, so I couldn't escape. I went in the center, I watched the lecture, and the lecture was about depression. So for me, it was like, I didn't really understand much of Spiritism. And that for me was like amazing. Every single thing the speaker was talking about was the feelings I was feeling. I was feeling unhappy even with good things. I was not giving value even to the beautiful things I have. So that was so important. It shifted my mind. I remember when I got out of the center, I was light. I was happy. I was smiling again. I came in the car, I kissed my husband, and I told him, I'm cured. I remember he looking at me like, what? I'm sure he was thinking, did they give any kind of drugs to my wife? But that's exactly what happened. And from that day on, I never more had depression. But I also never more left Spiritism. I embraced the doctrine with my soul, and I really dedicated to study because I saw that that could change lives, and that changed my life. So this is like a my personal story. So if we continue through the paragraphs here, we understand that the unhealthy emotions, when deeply seated, can also create disease. And that's exactly the same thing that I was talking about. You know, Dr. Bernie Siegel, he also talks about anger. People who have a tendency of feeling angry all the time, they develop ulcer. And sometimes this ulcer can become some kind of cancer. So we know, we all know, some people have this tendency. Some people are very explosive. It's like their personalities. And sometimes they say, oh, I can't change that. This is my personality. I am like that. I'm very happy, but if one thing goes wrong, I explode immediately. Well, yes, it might be your personality, but that's why we are here. That's why we are incarnated, and that's why we are studying Spiritism, and that's why we are studying the Chapter 15, Health, in order to change the bad characteristics of our personalities. We are here to improve. If we have this tendency, let's change. Let's try to be a little bit better. Let's try to calm down. If we are going to be in a situation that it could happen, let's try to remove ourselves. If we are going to empathize with somebody that's fighting and we get all excited and we want to fight too, let's get out of there. Anything that's negative, anything that's bad, is not good. It's not good to connect with. And now we can understand it's not good even for our physical health. So it's important for us to think about it and to change the bad characteristics of our personalities. So, and then continues that after negative feelings are converted to mental vibrations, they turn against us to disturb the complex function of the nervous cells in the skin. So that's exactly what we are talking about. So our system is going to be changing. We can start developing diseases. We can develop headaches. And you know, headaches is just the first thing. Just the first thing, that the headache. But it's so many other diseases can also help happen. And then it continues. When powered up on the encephalic cortex can produce delusions that may range from hidden phobia to outright insanity. So it's like, wow. So the diseases here are tough, from a phobia to an insanity. So goes to a low level to a very, very high level. So we have to be super, super careful. This condition is reinforced by companions. That's what we already mentioned before. You know, companions. And these companions can be incarnated or can be discarnated. And they can resonate with us, with the whatever we are going through. They can, for example, we start feeling a headache because we had problems in our job. So we are angry, we are thinking about a boss or a coworker, and we get angry when we think and rethink and think again about the problem. You know, Chico Xavier always said, you cannot change what already happened, but you can create a new future. So if it happened, we cannot change it. The problem with your boss or your coworker happened, but you can make amends. So let's stop thinking over and over about what already happened. Let's try to think about the future. What can we change? How can we do something different? That's the most important thing. I saw a beautiful lecture of Annette Guimarães. She's a very well-known speaker in Brazil. And she mentioned a study about the people who were leaders and who were losers. And they did like a study group. So they mixed up a group of people, and some of them had characteristics of leadership, and some of them had characteristics of inertia, meaning they never did much. And then a situation happens. And then the situation that happened was like a bottle of milk broke, some kind of milk broke and fell. And what happened? What's gonna happen in this situation? So in this situation, there were people who were all blaming themselves. They were like, oh, it was his fault, it was her fault. How is gonna be this? This is terrible. Oh, I'm sorry, I actually remembered she gave another example. This was a real life situation that happened in a spiritist center. And then one person left, they all fighting and discussing who was gonna clean, who fault was, whatever, went to the side and start calling other people. Listen, we need the milk for the amount of people that will be here for breakfast. Can you stop by right now before coming to the center and buy this, this, and this to replace the milk? And okay, good. So that was the difference. While most of the people have a tendency of fighting who was the fault, who really broke the glass, few people have the characteristics of seeing ahead. It's already broke. There is nothing can be done. How can we replace the milk? How can we do it? And that's the good characteristics. That's what we need to reinforce within ourselves. So this is the winners, the leadership. When you are able to see solutions, you avoid thinking about of the past, of how the problem happened. Later on, you can see and you can understand, but the immediate thing is how to see solutions, how to be better, how to improve ourselves. And the last sentence that Emmanuel says is good sentiments produce good thoughts. And this is true. Good sentiments produce good thoughts. And that's what we want. We want to be immersed in good thoughts. We want to be immersed in happiness, in cheerful energy, in good vibrations. Of course, we can't be immersed in good vibrations all the time because things happen. Sometimes things that are not very positive happen. But we have to try. We have always to try to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And it is possible. If you are not feeling that good, call somebody that's a little bit happier, somebody that will be able to give you a positive message, who will be able to guide you, who will be able to tell you to disconnect, whatever. The thing is that we have to take the action. You know, we have to take the action to improve ourselves because there is always light at the end of the tunnel. And let's see, some people wrote here, I didn't read anything. So, Olímpio Gomes Jr. from Brazil, Belo Horizonte. Hello, Olímpio, wonderful. Welcome, welcome. And then we have Rita Flor. Maravilha, amiga, muito lindo. Rita, thank you, welcome. River. People that wake up in a bad mood daily die earlier. Oh, it's true. It is true. And that's why I love to laugh. I'm always laughing. I'm always trying to see positive things in anything, in anything. I remember many years ago, I had a boyfriend who complained that I used to laugh a lot. He said, oh my God, you laugh too much. And I remember in the time I was so upset because I was like, I'm always trying to be positive and he's complaining about it. As you can imagine, the relationship didn't work. Teresa, my dear, mwah, nice to see you. Long time you don't join us. Very, very good. Carla, I remember when you posted this lecture, interesting. What she did. Oh, yes, long time ago. I will post again the lecture of Annette Guimarães. Julija. Hello, Julija. Let's read. Hi from Australia. Last night I started to read the book of Divaldo Franco on obsession case of a young girl. It was 5 a.m. when I finished. Oh my God. Wow. I couldn't stop. It opened my eyes so much and gives so much understanding of the mental conditions and how easily we can be influenced by lower order spirits. Absolutely right, Julija. I stood there in awe and I started prayer for all my family, friends, ancestors, and all that could remember. Prayer is so powerful and real. Julija, that's amazing. That's awesome. I am more or less like you. When I start reading an amazing book, I get glued to it. And wherever I go, I have the book with me. It's like insanity, but it's a beautiful insanity. I already told here many times when I was reading the book 2,000 years ago, and I was on vacation, and, you know, the book is very powerful. It's the story of Emmanuel, and he meets Jesus. It's really, like, very special. I remember being at the pool of a hotel and crying. And people realized I was crying because of the book, because I was reading. I was like this. I was reading and I was like, oh my God. And I put the book here and I cried. When I looked, the whole pool was looking at me like I was totally crazy. So I put my sunglasses, but I couldn't stop reading the book and the tears were coming. But yes, some of these novels that the spirits bring to us, Emmanuel and so many other, like André Luiz, they are so powerful and they really touch us so deeply that change us. And then we start reflecting, oh my God, I never thought about that. And this is the beauty of Spiritism, because Spiritism can bring us the reality from the spirit point of view, from the other side that we do not understand yet. We have a glimpse of what will happen because of Spiritism. Until then, we had no idea. So I am so thankful for all these amazing mediums who brought these amazing messages to us. Chico Xavier, Divaldo Franco, so many mediums who brought and continue bringing. And also nowadays, many doctors who are really opening their minds, understanding there is something more than the physical body. There is something more they cannot see, they cannot scientifically prove, but they cannot understand. So if they cannot understand, there is something. So this is beautiful. It's a blessing. It's a blessing for all of us. So let's see here. So Julija, thank you for your message. Very, very beautiful from Australia. Lu, my darling, mwah, nice to see you here. Well, guys, let's go. Now we have to go to the Gospel According to Spiritism. And the last week we were talking a little bit about Socrates and Plato. And tonight we are supposed to study the summary of the doctrine of Socrates and Plato. So just a reminder for you guys, let's remember that Socrates was born 428 years before Christ. Before Christ. And then Socrates 469 years before Christ, and Plato 428. So it's like amazing numbers for us. Amazing numbers for us. Then we had the Jesus in the year 1. And then we had the Spirit's book that was codified by Kardec in 1857. So these numbers are just for you to start thinking about what we are going to talk about right now. We are going to talk about what Socrates spoke. He never wrote anything. Plato, his student, his most important student. He is the one who actually took notes of what Socrates spoke. So we are going to read one paragraph of what Socrates said, and then we are going to read the comments of Kardec. So let's go. Number one, Socrates says, the human being is an incarnate soul. Before its incarnation, it existed in union with the primordial types, the ideas of the true, the good, and the beautiful. Upon incarnation, it separates from them, and remembering its past, it is tormented to various degrees by the desire to return it. So, it's really amazing for us to think that this man wrote this 469 years before Jesus. It's like amazing. Let's see what Kardec says. One could not more clearly enunciate the distinction and independence between intelligent principle and material principle. Furthermore, this represents the doctrine of the pre-existence of the soul, the vague intuition it retains of another world to which it aspires, its survival after the body, its exit from the spiritual world in order to incarnate, and its re-entry into the world after death. In short, it is the seed for the doctrine of the fallen angels. And the fallen angels here, let's think about not the illuminate beings that lots of people talk about, but like us, human beings. We are little angels, not fully developed yet, but we have the potential. So fallen angels, you think about, we are in the spiritual realm. We are discarnated. And then we have to reincarnate, we have to fall, we have to come back to earth, and we have to incarnate in a physical body. So this is amazing that in that period of time where people, they were really brutals, they were really like, you can't even imagine how was life in that time. Life and death was like 1, 2, 3, you know, it's not that really helps. If nowadays death also happens a lot, but we have tribunals, we have judges, we have order, we have laws, we have all kinds of protections, we have TV, internet to show all the negative things. In that time, there was nothing. And it's amazing that he could resonate and he could think about that. So this is very, very powerful. And then, hello, Rudy. It will be proven. Yes, Rudy, I always say that. A lot of people who are materialists, they say, no, there is nothing after death. That's it. When we die, there is nothing. I always think, oh my God, when he dies, he will wake up and like, wow, it actually, there is a lot after the death of our physical bodies. So this is really, yes, you will see. Hello, Vanessa. Mwah! Welcome, welcome. So let's go. Number two of the summary of the doctrine of Socrates and Plato. Two, the soul wanders and becomes confused when it uses the body in order to consider any object. It feels giddy, as if it were intoxicated, because it is connected to things that are by their very nature subject to change. On the other hand, whenever it contemplates its own essence, it turns toward that which is pure, eternal, and immortal, and the being of the same nature. It remains connected there for as long as possible. Its erroneous ways then cease, for it is united to that which is immutable, and this state of the soul is what is called wisdom. Then Kardec comments, hence, humans who consider things from below in a mundane fashion and from a materialistic point of view delude themselves. In order to evaluate them correctly, it is necessary to see them from the above, for example, from the point of view of the spirit. The truly wise must therefore in some way isolate the soul from the body in order to see with the eyes of the spirit. This is what Spiritism teaches us. So this is true. We in Spiritism, we understand that when we are discarnated, when we are in the spiritual realm, free from our physical body, we are able to understand so many things that we cannot understand when we are here. So many problems that we create here when we are in the physical realm. When we are in the spiritual realm, we are able to understand with the eternal eyes. With our little wisdom, we still can understand this shouldn't be done. I couldn't have done that. So when we come back to Earth, when we come to our dense environment to our physical bodies, we have these difficulties. So that's exactly what Socrates says, that when we are in the spiritual realm, our essence is pure, eternal, and immortal. And we are connected to that. So this is amazing. The source, you know, we are connected to the source, the God. We are connected with the pure spirits. So this is very, very beautiful. Oh, Danielle Castellani. Hello, my friend, my New York friend. How are you? So let's go, guys. Please, if you want to make comments, if you want to make questions, please write there and then we can talk and we can understand together. Number three of the summary of the doctrine of Socrates and Plato. While we have our body, and as long as our soul is immersed in this corruption, we will never possess the object of our desires, the truth. In fact, the body brings forth in us a thousand of obstacles due to our need to care for it. Moreover, it fills us with desires, appetites, fears, a thousand chimeras, and a thousand follies, so that while in it, it is impossible to be wise even for an instant. However, since it is not possible to know anything purely while the soul is united to the body, one of two things will happen. Either we will never know the truth, or we will only come to know it after death. Super cool. Freed from the insanity of the body, we then will converse, hopefully, with individuals likewise freed, and we will know for ourselves the essence of things. That is why true philosophers prepare themselves to die, and why death in no way seems fearsome to them. This is really amazing, just to think that Socrates thought about that so many years ago. Let's see Kardec's comments. Here we have the principle of a soul's faculties being obscured by means of the corporeal organs, exactly like how we mentioned in the previous number, and the expansion of its faculties after death, after we are freed from our physical bodies. However, this applies only to the souls of the already purified elect, meaning the ones who are more evolved, they are spiritually more evolved. The same does not occur to the impure souls, meaning if we are a spirit who have lots of problems, lots of issues, committed horrible things on earth, and is materialistic, whatever, when we die, when this person discarnates, is not going to be able to understand fully the things of this another person who are a little bit more evolved. Let's put a tough comparison here. Chico Xavier, Madre Teresa of Calcutta, these are beings much more evolved. They already lived in a more spiritual way. So when a being like this, when a person like this discarnates and wakes up in the other side, he or she will be involved in much more light and will have like this broader understanding of what is the real life. So it's different. There are many, many levels. But the important thing here is that the doctrine of Socrates and the Spiritism are so correlated. They are very, very similar in many ways, even if in certain things are a little bit different, but they are very, very connected. And this is what we already know, that a message, an important message to come to fully work needs preparation. So it needs to have the precursors. It needs to have people that came to plant the seed. So the seed would be able to start germinating. So to a big idea to come, little ideas had started to be put together. It's almost like a construction for a huge building to be able to come. You really need a solid base. And that's exactly what Socrates, Plato, and many others were doing. They were constructing, they were putting this solid base to be able to start being put on top of it and create what we have, the knowledge that we have nowadays, because we already reincarnated so many times. And we, thank God, we are learning little by little every time we come back here. So we have a few minutes. Let's read number 4. The impure soul in this state is weighted down and is once again pulled to the visible world through the horror of what, which of that which is invisible and immaterial. In the wonders, it is said, around mausoleums and graves, near which at the time terrible ghosts have been seen, which must be the images of souls who have left the body without being completely pure, and who have retained something of the material form, making the eye able to perceive them. These are not the souls of the good, but rather of the wretched, who are forced to wander around such places where they bear the punishment of their former life and where they continue to roam until the appetites inherent to the material form they were giving lead them to another body. And then, of course, they return to the same habits which during their former life were the object of their predilections. And let's see what Kardec talks about. Not only is the principle of reincarnation clearly expounded here, but the state of souls who are still under the control of matter is described just as the Spiritism demonstrates during evocations. Moreover, it is stated that the reincarnation in a material body is a consequence of the soul's impurity, whereas purified souls are free of it. Spiritism says nothing else. It only adds that the soul who has made good resolutions during the errant state and who possesses acquired knowledge brings fewer defects, more virtues, and more intuitive ideas of being reborn that it had possessed in the preceding existence. Hence, each existence represents for it both intellectual and moral progress. So we understand that every single time we reincarnate, we progress. We are always progressing. And when we are in the spiritual realm, we are progressing too, because we can study. We can go to many different schools. We can learn. We can work. We can understand our imperfections. We can understand everything we did wrong that we should have done a little bit different. And we can try to work on it. And we can also study this book, Thought and Life. Because Emmanuel was asked to write this book in order to help the spirits who are going to be coming back to Earth, who are going to be reincarnating, trying to help themselves how to deal with the next life, how they could work better. So we are always improving. But of course, it depends on us. It depends always on us. We understand that every single person will improve, but the amount of improvement that we will be able to do depends from one person to the other person. And exactly like here on Earth, you can have two musicians. One dedicates 8 hours a day of practicing, and the other 1 hour. Even if maybe the one who dedicates 1 hour is natural talented, but he only dedicates 1 hour, and the other one who dedicates 8 hours, or he will be better, the one who is naturally good, or he will be much, much, much better. So it depends on us too. So when we go to the spiritual realm, let's get together there and let's study so we can improve ourselves. And you know, let's not leave for tomorrow what we can do today. So as I mentioned in the beginning, every night when our physical bodies go to sleep, our spirits are awakened and they are wandering around. And you know, it depends on us where we're going to go. So if when we go to bed, right before we go to sleep, if we do a prayer and we connect with our guardian angel, we connect with the enlightened spirits and we ask for help, we ask to be brought to an area where we could improve, if we could be brought to a place where we could study something, where we could learn with someone who are making mistakes like us, we are helped. We are helped. We might not remember our dreams, but every single night we are doing something. So let's pray in order to be able to be doing something good, something positive. So my friends, it was awesome to be here with you again. And just a reminder, next week we are going to be studying from Thought and Life, lesson 16, the vocation. So funny, I was talking about musicians, the vocation. And we will continue studying Socrates and Plato, number 5. So now I would like to ask all of you to relax a little bit while we are going to do our final prayer. We are going to connect with all these beautiful spirits who are surrounding us right now. Dear God, thank you so much for the blessings received tonight, this beautiful study, who helps us to understand the life after this life. Please, Master Jesus, help us to be able to be fully connected with these teachings. Especially tonight, we were studying about health, and we need it so much. We need to have healthy thoughts in order to cultivate our healthy physical body. Please send these good vibrations to our family members, to anyone who might be listening to this talk later on, so they will be surrounded by these good spirits, enlightening their good thoughts and helping them to connect with your love and good vibrations. Thank you so much. So be it. So my friends, thank you so much. It was awesome. Hello, Nora. You just joined us. We're almost finishing. Thank you so much. It was a blessing. And again, just to remind you, if you are in Miami, if you know anyone in Miami, we will be doing once a month picnic and the gospel in a beautiful park called Alice Wainwright on Brickell Avenue, right by the Key Biscayne entrance. If you want to join us, we'll be April 22nd at 2 p.m. Drop us a message and we will give you all the information. Thank you so much. God bless you. Mwah! Have a great night. See you in 2 weeks. Bye-bye for now.